Last Word on Business.
With Fitzgerald Power. Can't count on your current accountants? Talk to us. FitzgeraldPower.ie.
Ian Guider from the Business Post is with us. And Ian, I'm not sure I can remember the likes of it. A statement from the ousted chair of RT. When I say ousted, she resigned. She felt she had no option but to resign. Shunni Rally, 2,300 words in length. They're minutely going through the details of what happened between her and the minister with responsibility for RT as Minister for the Media, Catherine Martin. And finishing with the conclusion, if the minister had decided that she no longer wanted me as chair, that is her privilege. However, I cannot remain silent about the manner of my enforced dismissal, which seemed designed to traduce my reputation. What do you make of that?
It is another part of the extraordinary saga in RTE. And let's leave aside the he said, she said bits of what went on at those board meetings a couple of weeks ago. And let's focus on that very personal attack, you'd have to call it, by Shunni Rally on Catherine Martin, not just in relation to this matter as to what was said at these board meetings 2 weeks ago, but going back to her time as chair of RTE, and in particular over the last number of months. Shunni Rally, towards the end of her stay, and says the rule book on good governance may prescribe regular contact between minister and chair as the norm, but from day one, I had no choice but to accept the practice of regular contact between chair and secretary general. She goes on to say, over my experience over the past 15 months has been of a minister actively taking a hands-off approach whilst delegating through her officials.
There's a lovely oxymoron in that, in actively taking a hands-off approach.
There is, but it goes on true. But just reading the statement here, in my 15 months as chair, I only had a handful of meetings directly with the minister. On the whole, this form of communications was normally with her departmental officials. This is an attack on Catherine Martin's position that this whole issue as to the payments to Richard Collins, the former chief executive, was so serious she didn't feel that she had the information from the board. Yet, Shunni Rally's statement goes through it in some details here, and I do have it, I've underlined a lot of the package here. So it goes back to this board meeting that took place Monday the 19th of February, saying that, well, it came up at the very end of these meetings because the meetings were called to discuss other substantive elements. And she said this matter had been made aware to the department last October, on October the 10th. She says, I had spoken with the then Secretary General about the outcome of the board meeting and had given her the details of that meeting and what in broad terms had been approved by the Remuneration Committee in relation to Mr. Collins's exit package. And she goes on then to say, the questions posed to me in relation to the exit package from last November were left afield and a rehashing of an issue which had been dealt with. To raise it 5 months later was and remains baffling to me. So from Shunni Rally here, a very personal criticism of Catherine Martin as minister overseeing RTE and also of this very specific issue. In Shunni Rally's view, the department were fully informed. Perhaps there's a question as to whether the minister wasn't fully informed by her officials. But also, this had been out there in the public, discussed at another Oireachtas committee meeting. And as far as Shunni Rally was concerned, this was not a major issue for RTE because she felt the department had been made aware of it. So from Catherine Martin's point of view, this puts the ball back in her court. Did she ask her officials exactly what was going on in RTE? Because it is Shunni Rally's position, she had no communications with the minister really, and that her officials were the ones that she told all of these details to.
Another line, for a long time, successive governments have avoided putting the public service broadcaster on a sound financial footing, resulting in the disablement of RTE's ability to change and respond dynamically to the global changes that threaten democracies and independent reportage. If anything comes from this latest debacle, my wish is that it will bring about focus on what is really important here for our democracy and our citizens.
Yeah, it is incredible. And by the way, I do take issue with one line in the statement, Matt, and this is about the, I think, understandable concern people have that RTE executives, regardless of what went on, are leaving with substantial packages, and this is just the business norm. And the line in Shunni Rally's statement, I think, which might come back to haunt her a little bit, I do not claim that severance package of the former CFO was in any way unimportant, but in my mind, it was historical, as I, along with the Director General, wrestled with many current challenges. I also want to record my conviction that, quantum aside, there is a structure programme in RTE would not be possible without resort to negotiated severance arrangements. I think there's a lot of people out there, Matt, that would have concerns that people in RTE, regardless of whether they're newish at the job or not, are leaving with massive payments, while the taxpayer has had to hand over, or will be close to handing over, some 60 million euro by the time RTE gets its latest bailout in the next coming months.
At least. And then, where does that leave the incoming chair? Because earlier this afternoon, before this bombshell statement, we had Taoiseach Leo Varadkar saying that the name of the new chair and two new directors will be confirmed after cabinet tomorrow.
I'd hope that they have the name on the contract by now, signed and sealed, because we don't know who this person is. We don't know. There's been a lot of people's names speculated. Paul Reid, the former head of the HSE, was the latest person mentioned in connection with it. We don't know if he is the one who's been tapped up to sign it.
Would he be a restructuring expert who would go and get involved in a major revamp of the organisation to make it fit for purpose, given that the media landscape is changing so dramatically?
He was heavily involved in Aircom back in the day, and for a long, long time involved in industrial relations at Aircom and on the side of negotiations. Also a senior official in the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform during the austerity years, was brought in by the then Minister Brendan Howland to oversee lots of the austerity cuts that were in place and to make sure that they went through. So he is somebody with a lot of experience on that side of it. Is he somebody with commercial experience, somebody that knows the media landscape? Probably not so much. But as I said to you a couple of days ago, Matt, what RTE don't want right now, and there's been lots of speculation about former RTE people who have moved into the media industry, what you don't want is another arts lovey, or you don't want a political lackey. So perhaps somebody who's got good administrative skills, such as Paul Reid, and somebody who worked closely with the government and is somebody regarded by the government, perhaps he would be a good choice. I would like to see somebody with a much more commercial background brought in, but whoever it is, they must be looking at this and looking at the what could only be described as the breakdown in relationship between Catherine Martin and Shu and the rally as outlined in this very lengthy statement, and thinking,
well, indeed,
how do I get out of it?
And Ian, today there was a survey from the Institute of Directors that said 60% of its members wouldn't sit on the state board because of the risks to their reputation. I wonder if that survey was done this evening, would that number go up?
I think a lot of these people who are responding to it might look at this and think, absolutely no way. Because one of the things that came up in this survey by the IOD wasn't just that concern by many people about their reputation and personal risk, was, well, what happens about corporate governance on these boards? You sign up to be a director, you don't get paid a whole lot of money on state boards, yet you are the person signing off on accounts and public money, and that comes with a huge amount of risk to your own reputation if you get it wrong. As we have seen, it's not just that you'll find yourself in front of an Oireachtas committee, you could even find yourself fired on live telly.
Okay, one last one. Apple and the fine from the European Union. Tell us about this.
Yes, this is Apple's old nemesis, Margrethe Vestager, the EU commissioner responsible for digital services. Of course, the person who slapped them with that $13 billion back tax payment all those years ago for their operations here in Ireland. Today, announcing another fine of €1.8 billion to Apple. And that's for effectively stopping other competitors offering streaming music services much more cheaply. If you sign up to somebody like Spotify who made this complaint, Apple's take a cut of every subscription they take of almost 30% through the iOS or iPad app. Yet, Spotify say you can sign up for cheaper if you go onto our website or use other different apps. But they say that iOS, Apple's service, doesn't allow you to make people aware of this. Margrethe Vestager says this is a breach of EU rules and there's a fine of €1.8 billion, which Apple will appeal. What's also part of this is a remediation clause, which they want Apple to get rid of this idea that you can't advertise other ways to get a streaming service much more cheaply without having to pay that fee. There's a similar case in the US, Matt, taken against the company by Fortnite maker Epic Games. They won that case, and yet they claim Apple are still trying to charge them additional fees so that no matter what happens, Apple are still taking that 30% cut of every subscription.
Thank you very much, Ian Guider from the Business Post.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.